water tub down next to the barn, and she was afraid we'd get in that tub, you know. And my swing was down there, and after the other kids went to school, of course, Robert wasn't old enough to, and my other sister that died, they weren't old enough to come down and swing, so I'd be down there alone swinging. And she'd holler, "Thelma, where are you, Thelma? And I just get to swinging. I'd have to come back up and tell her where I was. And she said, "Don't you go near the water." And I said, "No, I won't." But I never did, but she was afraid I was going to get in that tub, you know. Probably it was that high where we watered the cattle and the horses. She worried about that thing. And then they fixed me a swing over the road so she could see where I was better. But you take eight kids. Of course, my youngest sister, younger than I am, she died when she was 2 years and a half old. So then my brother was small, so he come till after that, Robert.
Did she die of a disease or?
Appendicitis. She had appendicitis, and they didn't know what the trouble was, and she died.
Yeah, my father lost a sister and a brother.
Yeah.
Things that they wouldn't lose them.
Yeah, they didn't know what it was. They had two doctors, but no one knew what the trouble was, and it bursted in gangrene, so then they killed her. She was better, and we thought she was coming all right. I can just remember. She was 2 years and a half younger than I am. I can just remember, you know, because she was 2 years and a half, about 2 years and a half old, or 2 years old, somewhere along that. I can just remember when she was sick, and I don't remember before that, but I remember the funeral, and I remember being sick, and my other sister made her some doll clothes, and I remember that, but that's all I remember of her. Ain't that funny? But I can't remember anything else, playing with her or nothing.
Well, you were pretty little. And there were eight of you.
Eight of us, yeah. Four boys and four girls.
And you were in the middle?
No, I was one of the latter ones. Robert's younger than I am, and Myrtle was, but the rest of them was all older.
And Raymond was?
Raymond was older. Raymond was born in 1904. Yeah. I got a picture of Raymond as the violin. He thought more of his violin. This is one that he had in his nose.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, what a nice photograph.
But he played alone so much that he keep adding tiddly-dum-dum, tiddly-dum-dum. I've got one of his tapes that my nieces sent me. I don't know where she got it, but I've got it. But he would add this. I said, "Raymond, that don't go there." But he'd sing, you know, there alone. He'd play and sing alone. That's all the enjoyment he had, his violin. And after he died, I told the undertaker over to Waterbury, I said, "Raymond took his violin everywhere he went." Well, he says, "Put it in with him." And I said, "What do you mean, put it in a casket?" I didn't know they'd do that. He said, "Sure, if you want to put it in with him."
Oh, nice.
So he said, "Is there anybody in the family that can play?" Well, I said, "My nephew plays a little. He don't play very much, but he plays a little." He said, "Bill?" And I said, "Yeah." Well, he said, "I'm going to see if I can get Bill to play a tune." And so Bill played Coming Through the Rye. And then he took the violin and took it over and put it in the casket for Raymond.
Oh, nice. Now, Bill is Bob's son? Or?
Yeah, Robert's son, yeah. Middle one. This is Robert's three boys.
Uh-huh. Well, it sounds like you had a very musical family.
Yes, if we'd had a chance to take in some lessons, I wished a good many times I'd taken some more, but my folks didn't have the money to do it, and I didn't have no way to get in. I only with two horses, you know. Take a double team or something to come down to take a lesson. Of course, 4 miles is 4 miles with horses. It takes quite a while. They just didn't have the money to give it to me. I didn't take only one.
And you said your mother played?
She played quartz a little.
Did your father play the fiddle?
No. My father didn't play anything. But he used to sing to us. I remember him taking me on his lap and singing Little Brown Jug and them.
Do you remember some of the titles of the songs that he sang?
That he used to sing?
Yeah.
Well, he used to sing Little Brown Jug, but I can't remember. Robert said, "Well, I don't remember my father singing." Well, I do. He used to take me up on his knee and make his feet go, Little Brown Jug, you know. Seems like there was another one he used to sing to me. I can't remember what it was. That was a long time ago.
I know. Well, where did the fiddling, how did the boys learn to fiddle?
Well, Ed Raymond just picked up the violin and played, just the same as Albert. Albert never took only one lesson. He went over to Fuller's. His folks bought him a violin, a Floyd, I guess, I don't know, but one of the fellas. And he went over, he was supposed to learn how to teach Albert how to play. And so Albert went over one Sunday.
Floyd was?
Floyd.
He was that good?
Floyd was a good player. Floyd was very good. And he went over one Sunday, and he told Albert this and that, you know, and Albert said, I didn't know anymore, and I come out, and I said, but he, one time, just before we got married, or just after we got married, he said, I think I can play the fiddle. And his mother used to play chords a little. She took quite a few lessons, and she could play a little hymns and things like that, you know. And they used to sing. And he, after we was married, we used to go to them kitchen junkets, we called them. And one Saturday we'd go one place, and the next Saturday we'd go somewhere else, Saturday night, and get home 3-4 o'clock in the morning. But we used to have a good time. Rupert used to come and stand in the door with his mother.
Yeah, because his mother used to, no, I guess it was his grandmother, used to tell stories, I guess it was.
Yeah, yeah. And me was a good person. So my father thrashed. He used to go around thrashing with Herb and my two older brothers. I've got a picture of them somewhere while they're thrashing. My father had the thrashing machine and Herb had the engine, so they'd thrash all around the neighborhood. Everybody would raise grain, you know, for their hands and horses. And my husband used to take it down and have it ground and some other grain put in with it, cottonseed or something for the cows for feed instead of buying all of it. We had our corn. We'd take the corn with the cobs and everything, you know, just shucked it, and he'd take that down. And you had to do everything them days to make a dollar.
Oh,
sure
yeah.
Did.
Yeah. Yeah.
We worked awful hard up there. Terrible. We had 2,300 trees. It's quite a job.
Yeah. Now, you said you bought your husband's mother's farm?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. They had two farms together, the lower place. If Albert's father had lived, he was going to give us a lower place and then help build a house on it, because the house was an old house. But he didn't live. He died shortly after Albert was 18, so he didn't live.
So did you take over the whole farm?
We took over the whole thing. Yeah, we bought the whole thing.
And did you come back? That you said you came back from being married.
Yeah.
You came back to that farm then?
Yeah, yeah.
With $10 in
your
pocket?
Yeah, $10. We went and spent all that for groceries. But that's something different than nowadays. You know that. It sure is.
And then you had six cows and a bull.
Six cows and a bull. It went in the test. Yeah.
And
we drove them.
It was the milk that tested bad?
Yeah, the milk. They had that. They said TB. They'd come and test them. I don't believe they do that now, but they did then.
And they destroyed the.
They took them. We drove them to Roxbury, Raymond and Albert and I. We took the horse and the sled. It was just an awful lot of snow. And we had to come down from our place and go over to the east one corner where the store is and do it with Roxbury. We drove them cattle. We'd take turns. One would walk a while and drive them and then another. Of course, there was so much snow it didn't bother too much. You know, they'd get in the track and they'd keep on going. But we got them to Roxbury. Albert's mother got the check when she was married right after we were. We married in November and they were married in December, so we always laughed about it. Albert was married for his mother.
This was in 1927.
Yeah, we were married in 28.
28.
And they were married. We were married in November and they were married in December, so he was married for his mother.
That's stuff. Yeah. Well, so eight of you grew up on, and your family's farm, the Gold Farm,
mm-hmm.
was that in East Warren as well? Or?
That's a part of Blueberry Lake, yes.
That's, oh.
Blueberry Lake, yes, yeah. That's where we were all born up there. Yeah, grew up. We went to the school right below Rupert's there, that little place.
Yes.
We went there. And then the last 2 years, I went to the corner school. We didn't have scholars enough, so they took us with a team over to East Warren. We all went in there. We used to go over there anyway for our Christmas exercises and memorial time, you know, and get together the two schools. But then they got to where they want more than six or eight, and so they put us all together for 2-3 years, and then they went back up to the South School, and then some of them come to the village, you know, and that's the way we went for 2-3 years.
And these Memorial Day exercises, and so did you, and Christmas, did you used to say pieces?
Oh, yeah. My brother Robert spoke that piece Annie and Willie Speier. You remember that one?
Which one's that?
Annie and Willie Speier. That's a great long one. I spoke it when I was in the 8th grade up to East Warren, and he spoke it down here. He's got horses. He got some beautiful horses. Can I listen to him here? It's probably dusty, but he got these horses. He takes steers for a ride.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, they are nice.
They're beautiful horses. He's got, I don't know, 5 or 6 horses. And he isn't able to do it now. I should sell them all. But.
And he's over in...
Moortown, upon Moortown Mammon Road.
Because he was suggested to me to... Mm-hmm. I think Rupert also suggested I'd
yeah,
with him.
Yeah. He likes to tell stories, and when he takes some skiers to ride, he tells them the darndest stories, you know, and they enjoy it.
Of course! Everybody likes stories.
Yeah. But he spoke this piece. They had a little doing, and he called and wanted me to come down. Well, I said, Robert, I've got no way to come down. I tried to get a couple fighters to take me down because I did want to hear him speak the piece, but I couldn't go. I didn't have no
this
way.
This is just recently? Or?
Yeah, this winter, just before Christmas. They had the bonfire, and they had, I don't know how they had, but they had the bonfire, and he drove horses from Waitsfield Village up to Irishville to the store, and then he'd take them back down to Waitsfield, and he drove back and forth. But he said that they were going to have a bonfire, and he was going to tell stories, and they were going to have hot cider and donuts and some lunch, you know, and I guess they had a good time. But he isn't able to do it, but he likes to take the skiers. He took 2 loads the other day. But they'll tell him such a time they'll be there, and then maybe they'll be there then, and maybe they'll come 2-3 hours difference, you know. It makes a difference. You have your horses out there. I remember I was out there one time, and we had to go and cover them all up, you know, because he didn't have no place to drive them in. They were already out in that cold wind.
Does he have a farm in Moortown?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, he did have a big farm, but he sold the most of it now. He's got a house and a barn, a new one, and they built up.
And a few horses.
Yeah, he's got horses, and then he's got, I think it's 2 cows and 3 calves or something like that. But he lived up in East Warren, but he sold that one and went to Moortown, bought that one. He wished a good many times, I guess he hadn't. He liked it better in Warren than he did. He says, every time I come to Warren, I don't want to go back to Waitsfield or Moortown. And he don't come to Warren very much. Don't have no time.
Well, growing up on the farm, you must have all had your own chores.
We used to hurry home at night to help my father pick up potatoes. I remember doing that. He was getting old, you know, and he lived to be 80, I guess he was a little over 80 when he died. But he was getting old, and he couldn't only get down on his hands and knees, you know, to pick up potatoes. And he'd pick up the best of them, and then us kids would hurry home at night and pick up the little potatoes for my father. And then he'd be off thrashing, you know. My mother and us kids dug them all one year. We had quite a lot of potatoes, and we dug them all and put them in the cellar. He was over helping Herb, and they were thrashing together, so different places.
Well, when they went thrashing, didn't often the women get together and make a meal?
Yeah. Sometimes they'd have 18, 20 men and women there to eat. Yeah.
Did your mother help cook for those?
Or? Oh, yes, yeah. If we went somewhere else, they usually, sometimes, you know, the women would take something, if they play or a cake or something, and put it in with what they had, and it was fun to do it. I remember that. I remember them coming up home, you know, a whole bunch of them, and having them come in and eat dinner. It was fun.
And then would there be fiddling, or would there be
nothing
after?
We didn't have no time to fiddle. We used to go to corn husking at night. We'd fiddle, dance, and have a good time. And go into zumping. But we didn't have no time to fiddle when we was farming.
Well,
in the daytime, we didn't have much time.
But at night.
Yeah. But of course, if they thrashed, it'd be in the daytime, you know, at noon.
Yeah. So the corn huskings would be in the afternoon.
At night. We went over to David McNeil's on the corner as you go up to Roxbury. We went over there one night. David called and wanted no help but to bring his fiddle. Well, I asked him. He was in, I think we were eating dinner. And he said, yes, he'd take it. And so we got over there. We went to the barn, husked all the corn, and went in. And And David come to Albert and he said, well, I think you'd like to dance, and you'll get your fiddle. And Albert says, yeah. So he went out and got his fiddle. And he says, Albert said, who's going to play it? And well, he said, I thought you was. And Albert said, we ain't much of a fiddler. But he was bound I was going to play cards, and so we played cards, and if we couldn't keep it going, they'd keep us singing and keep us dancing square figures, you know, just the same.
So you would play chords?
Yeah, I played chords with Albert. Yeah.
Did you learn that from your mother?
Yeah, she showed me how to play one chord. But I can't play the left hand and get it right, you know, I just can't do it. I wish I could, but I can't.
Were there a lot of good fiddlers around?
Well, quite a few. There's Herb Smith, not Herb Smith, Fred Smith, that just died. Did you see that in Waterbury?
Oh.
He was a good fiddler. He used to fiddle an awful lot, but he'd drink terrible. Sometimes they'd have to put him out in the car and give him another drink, and he'd stay there, and somebody else would have to fiddle. But he was quite a hand to drink.
Yeah.
Mrs. Somerville, that's Selma Ricketts, you know, over at the old homestead. Her mother used to play chords, and she'd play with Fred Smith. We had a good time. We come down here one night to a party. There was two couple that didn't have no house of their own, you know, they rented, and they didn't have no house, and so they come up to our parties on the hill. So they said, well, we're going to hire the hall and have you down there. Well, it was an awful night. Good deal like night before last, you know, just cold. And we started out, we got the chores done, and I made a cake or sandwiches or something to bring. You know, everybody brought something, and we ate together. And we came down, and as we come out by the Somerville place, the snow was drifted in, so the old horse couldn't hardly go. We stopped. He was lame anyway, and old. He was old and stiff. I said, Albert, let's turn around and go back. I didn't have no winter coat. All I had was a summer coat. It was lined, but it wasn't very hot. And
were you playing Fair Charlotte?
I don't know why I didn't freeze to death. Dancing was the last figure, you know. We danced just as long as the music kept going. We was all wet with sweat, and they had the horses up here. They had sheds right up here by the house, and we had our horse in there and sleigh. And we stopped to the store and got some kerosene, 5 gallons of kerosene, and a box of groceries down here where the store where we owned. And we had that in the sleigh, and we left it up here. Of course, now it wouldn't be safe for everybody to leave it, but we did then. Covered up the horse with two blankets, I remember that. Went over the hall and danced every figure. That's somebody started home. We got home half past seven, I think. We were supposed to have our milk down the road at 8 o'clock to meet this Nelson Patch that lives up here.
This is 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got home at half past seven.
So Albert changed his clothes, put on some other clothes, and grabbed his other horse. He harnessed up another horse, but that horse was tired, you know, to try to get through there. He couldn't get through some of the way without Albert taking the shovel and breaking that snow. Well, just way up like that, you know, and the horse couldn't get through. Art Mobus had been ahead of us, and he had two horses, and he had a whole load with the two horses. And he got so far, and he couldn't get no farther, so we unhitched his horses and left the sled right there, and he went over on the bank and went home. Now, we got up that far, and we couldn't get by anyway, So Albert said, well, you hang on to the sled and the grocery, don't let the sleigh tip over, and I'll make a track for the horse and go out on the bank and lead him. So there's quite a bit ditch, you know, but he led the horse, and we got over by Somerville's, and that one drifted right in full. They had plowed that road, but of course they didn't plow our road them days. So we had to get up our road the best way we could. But one track was full, and Albert put the horse in the other track and put the sleigh way out so we could get up through. He came down with the milk, I remember that. The water was froze up the barn, and no fire in the house, and all them cows bellering for to be milked and something to eat. God. We got our chores, and then we went into, Albert said, we better go and lay down a while. We hadn't laid down, so we went and laid down a while, and we woke up, or he did. I guess I just slept right around the morning. I don't know. I was so tired. He woke up, and he could hear the cows, a bellering. The barn was quite a little ways from the house, too, but he said, what the hang is going on? And I said, what'd you say? He said, what's going on? Well, I said, I guess probably we haven't milked yet, the sound of the cows. And we looked at the clock, and it was 8 o'clock at night. So we got up and went to the barn, got built fires again. Of course, the fires were pretty near out. We've been there since about noon. And went to the barn, started in doing chores again. And that night, we get on about midnight. He said, tomorrow, we better start in different. Because we're supposed to have our milk. You see, one of the fellows that was supposed to bring the milk around the square, around by Lester Senor's, and he was supposed to get that around there, and he just got back from the dance, too. So Patch had to wait for us a little while, I guess, to get down there. What a time we had. He used to cover up the car and the truck with it, or whatever we had. And, to just a thin summer coat, and I wonder I didn't take my death coat. I don't know how I could have done it with silk stockings on, you know, they didn't wear slacks them days. And
so you really were like Fair Charlotte.
I guess I was like something, I know. It was an awful cold ride. No fire when you got home to get warm, you know, you had to get busy to get warm. I thawed out the water over at the barn. I hit some hot water, and I don't know. That was a farming.
Awesome. And at that point, you had how many cows?
Oh, 22, 3. Yeah.
And you had, did you have a couple of hogs and some chickens?
Well, we had some chicken, yeah. We did keep pigs for a while, but, and young cattle, and, we had a handful.
And how many horses?
Well, we used to have four and sometimes five because we sugared, you see, with the horses. So we had to have more horses. If one was sick or couldn't go, you know, we'd have to hitch up another one. Sometimes we used two rigs for gathering sap.
How much syrup would you make?
One year we made 11 of those big barrels.
Holy
Toledo. Out of 2,300 trees tapped.
Wow.
They hold about 55 gallons to a barrel. And we made 11 of them big barrels. And it was all fancy but one barrel. One barrel was a dark, the very last that we boiled in.
The Frog Run?
Yeah. One year we took year that we sugared alone, we took it up on Roxbury Mountain. You're going to have quite a grain if you're way up on the Menin, you know, almost the top of the Menin where our land went, and we took 200 up there. And that was the beautifulest colored syrup you ever see. It's just like milk coming out of the evaporator. I went up with Albert's lunch, and of course I had to do chores and then do my housework and get somebody to eat for lunch. Took it up as lunch, and I could smell it when I went out the back door, but I didn't know what I could smell. But get up there, and he said, well, look what I'm drawing off. He was just syruping off, just like milk coming out of the evaporator. And I said, what an H-E-double-L smells so, Albert? He said, I don't know. I don't smell nothing. But there it was. It was, what did they call it? And last, Buddy. It was Buddy syrup. Yeah.
Well, that's the kind you make beer out of.
Yes, yeah, but we didn't make the beer. But he took some down to his uncle in Waitsville, and he said, that's the best syrup I ever tasted. Well, Albert said, I'm glad somebody likes it. He took 6 or 8 gallons of that syrup. He said, that's beautiful syrup. But it was good color, but the flavor was off.
Huh.
It didn't look it either. The buds didn't look as though they started. We never made any after that or before that. Did I ever know? My father never made any of that stuff like that. We did that year.
Well, now, would you make sugar as well?
We did make sugar. My father, when he was way sugaring up to my home, he used to put it in them, I think there were 5, maybe 10 pounds, I don't know, but
tubs.
Wooden tubs. He'd put it in there, and then he'd take it to Roxbury and ship it to, I don't know, Boston or somewhere. I don't know where it did go. We had a good, Albert's cousin got him a New York, New Haven and Hartford Railroad. And they sold it in glass. They'd put it in pints and quarts, we would, and ship it down there. You know, there'd be probably a dozen in a box, and wood, pasteboard box. Well, it got to where they'd smash it, you know, and we'd have to go to Waitsfield and get that and all that. It'd be one jar maybe smashed in the whole box, and we'd have to go and take that all back and clean it all up and then take some more down to ship it. And he finally told them he couldn't keep doing that, you know. If they'd taken it in tin, but they didn't want it in tin. They wanted it in glass so they could put it around their tables in the dining car.
They wouldn't
take it in the tin, so we quit that job. That was a good order, though. We had to ship a lot of it.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Now, would you make maple sugar candy?
Yeah, we made cakes here for years. Sold them right here at the house. We sold all our syrup right here. We made 250, 60 gallons here one year.
Yes.
We done roadside stuff. Sugaring from East Warren. Albert said, when you get out of the store, he said, what about a sugaring again? I said, what are we going to tap? Well, we said we can tap roadside trees, you know. And so we'd ask them if we could tap the trees, and then we'd give them syrup to pay for the use of the trees. Well, that's the way we done it. We had Mrs. Jennings over here, and we got about 100 that we could tap here.
Oh, that's great.
And then we'd go on to Fuller Hill, and then we'd go way in East Warren and tap up there and up at the airport. And
yeah, because there was a big sugar bush on Fuller Hill, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they used to have two. One at the home and one way over on the other Dan place, they called it. Yeah.
Did you have those sugar molds?
Mm-hmm. I still got them.
Do you? One of the things I've been interested, because they're all kinds of different carved molds.
Yeah.
And
these were rubber molds.
Oh, they were rubber.
What we've got now, I did have some tin ones, but I sold them out here to our yard sale. I got rid of them because I didn't use them, and I just.
Did you ever have the old wooden ones that people carved?
No. I've got a wooden board that Albert made, and then I've got the, well, it's supposed to be 2-ounce cakes if you get them just right. You know, you go in partitions, and then he made a little board that would go in to tighten it. A lot of people, they put it out here to sell. Nobody knows what it's all for. I said, you know what this is? No, I don't know what this is.
How would you make your cakes? You would just literally boil till it became sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And then you
would beat it with an electric beater.
Oh, you would?
Yeah. You when never tasted of it?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. The sugar cakes.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize you actually beat it with an expert.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to beat it. That's what makes it so white. The more you beat it, the whiter it is.
And then you pour it into the mold?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let them harden and then take them out. I've done every one up in saran wrap and sold them.
Do you deal with those figures and or with
well, ours is all maple leaves. We got all maple. Well, we had one that said Vermont. One V-E-R-M-O-N-T in the little squares, or they were probably in the square, and had one letter on each one. And that's the way we sold it. But, oh, that was an awful job to do that. We didn't do too many like that. But the others were supposed to be 2-ounce cakes, but I always marked it 1.5 ounces, so you know if they weed it, because it will shrink anyway. And you get it just about, well, it's hard to get it just right, you know. So I'd mark it 1.5 ounces to each cake and sold it that way. We never had any trouble with it. But.
And how many years did you do that for?
Oh, well, ever since we started sugaring down here. We didn't do that on the hill. We made 5 pounds and things like 5 and 10 pounds.
Yeah.
We had one customer, Dr. Kent, who was Albert's guardian after his father died. And he would buy maybe 5 and 6 of those 10-pound pails, give it away, you know. And then he used to eat it. He used to love it. Eat it on bread or anything, and he loved it. We'd sell him quite a lot, and a lot of them would buy the 5 pounds. There weren't too many would buy the 10, but of course they could buy 10 pounds pretty reasonable then. Well, that year that we made all of that 11 barrels, we got 66 cents a gallon for syrup in the barrel. That's something different now, isn't it? Yeah, I've got a
66
cents a gallon. Yeah,
a gallon.
A gallon in barrel. Yeah,
and it's what now? 21 or 22, isn't it?
It's more than that. I got 32 for mine this year. I bought it and sold it. I'm still in the sugar business.
Good for you. It's literally liquid gold now.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So you're still sugaring?
Yeah, I'm still sugaring. I sugared 2 years ago out here. Cliff Corliss tapped them for me. I can't tap them. I can bore it in, but to pull it out, it pulls out awful hard. So I asked him if he'd tap them, and he said sure he would. So he come up, and he said, well, here's another good tree, and I tapped 25 tubs. And I said, Cliff, you coming up to help me gather it and boil it in? Well, he said, I don't know. Maybe I can, but he was working every day. So he didn't come, but I couldn't boil it all in a little pan. I've got a pan that fits 2 burners and my gas stove up the sugar house, and that's the way I sugar it. But I made 6 gallons of syrup.
Good for you. And yeah, we used to sugar,
too. Yeah. And then I gave away Jesse Cody. I gave him. I asked him if he could use it, because I had to go out. My sister-in-law was very bad, and I went out with her for a week. I knew it wouldn't be any good the time I come back, and so I said, if you can use it, you can have it. So we got 6 10-gallon milk cans full of sap. Now I've got all them tubs. I heard yesterday the fella said if I can sell them. He wanted the whole thing. He bought them before Albert went. Albert told him he'd take half price for those tubs. But I guess I'm going to have to sell them. I got a whole shed full of wood up there.
Dry you mean
wood.
The wooden tubs or the metal buckets?
Metal tubs, and I've got the holder and the